What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What does your rivalry with LeBron mean to you?
Our careers are connected because we played at the highest level. You expect greatness, and that's the part I've enjoyed so much about playing in finals against him. It just brings out another level of intensity and excitement.
We got to be prepared for everything that they have. They got championship DNA as well. They know what it takes and what it feels like to be in pressure game. We got to be ready for that opportunity and for that pressure.
Let's go!
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
What they want.
The people are getting what they want tonight. We have two play-in games in the Eastern Conference, but we start with LeBron James and Steph Curry meeting up again in the postseason. What is the significance of this play-in game when you look at their rivalry as a whole?
You said the key word, rivalry. And so a couple of current players in the league, these two along with Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard, are defining their generation right now. And while LeBron is the elder statesman, and now he's playing in Los Angeles and a defending champion, Steph Curry's team has actually won 3 of the last 6 championships. And for two guys who were actually born in the same Ohio hospital, one to a single parent, one whose father played in the league, LeBron James has been the man child who outplayed expectations and came straight out of high school from day one. And Steph Curry was the little engine that could that went to Davidson and had to continue to prove people wrong. And so now all of a sudden you got both of these guys playing at an elite level in the NBA play-in game, Jacoby, a season where Steph Curry, by LeBron James' words, is this year's MVP. This is gonna be great theater. I'm really excited, and this is why it's a terrific idea by the league and Adam Silver to have this happen.
It really is. And you look at these two teams. You look at the Lakers. They're coming in a little bit hobbled. They're just coming together. And then you look at what Steph Curry has done with these Warriors in just the last 24 games. Look at the last 24 games. 20 times he's had 30 points. He's averaging 37, shooting 50% from the floor, almost 44% from three, and he has hit 155 threes over those 24 games. If the Warriors are going to have any chance in this game, it's going to have to take a historic performance from Steph, a 40-point, a 50-point performance from Steph. What are the chances the Warriors actually win this game against the Lakers?
Jacoby, he's been gearing up. If you notice in the previous game, career high in shot attempts from the field, career high in shot attempts from three. He was going down guns a-blazing. And it's one thing for the Warriors to be a part of the play-in. A team with Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, a championship pedigree that knows that this is not their year to win it all without Klay and Wiseman. They know that. It's one thing for them to be in the play-in. It's another thing to be playing against the Lakers, LeBron, and AD in the play-in. And you saw Draymond getting ready after going against Valanciunas, like, oh, I'm starting to get ready. I'm back ready guarding these centers. Because you know what the Lakers have a lot of? Big bodies. Andre Drummond, Gasol, Anthony Davis, a lot of big bodies. They're going to throw them all at Draymond Green.
And they have a lot of defenders they're going to throw at Steph Curry as well. And one thing I noticed during the regular season matchups between these teams, it was the Lakers' bench. It wasn't just LeBron and AD. It was Montrezl Harrell getting busy against the Warriors. THT, Kuzma, Caruso. If they can get the kind of production they got during the regular season in this playing game, it should be an easy win for the Lakers. But nothing is easy when you go up against Steph Curry. That game is tomorrow night. We have a couple big games tonight. We start with two teams going in completely different directions. Of course, I'm talking about the Celtics and the Wizards. Jalen, seems like there's just two very different stories and narratives taking the floor tonight as these two face off.
Listen up, I got a story to tell. How about two St. Louis kids getting a chance to play on the big stage, Bradley Beal and Jason Tatum, in this play-in situation? And Bradley Beal, second in the league in scoring. He's dealt with a hamstring injury recently. He was hobbled a little bit when he returned. Hopefully, he's back healthy as possible to perform. And they're both looking at this situation different. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double this year, Jacoby, for the fourth time in his career. Having both of those guys, they'll be extremely enthusiastic to play in the play-in and then make the playoffs to play in the first round. However, this Boston Celtic team, I don't think they're going to have that same enthusiasm without Jaylen Brown and just the way that they've underperformed this entire season. So I'm looking forward to seeing if Jason Tatum could just have that lights out performance and just say, all right, now, we have been to the conference finals three times in the last couple of years. Like, I'm going to also put up a big game and at least get us into the playoffs. But any talk of them firing Danny Ainge or Brad Stevens or trading one of their big two, not going to be able to do it.
They do not have a lot of roster flexibility, but you look at those numbers that you just saw on the screen, the last 15 games, the Wizards 10-5 and the Celtics 5-10. Interesting to see what happens in that one. And before that one, we have another interesting matchup in the Eastern Conference featuring our guy, LaMelo Ball, and the Hornets going up against the Pacers.
I see your nephew.
Jalen, do you think LaMelo Ball has a little bit more magic in him to carry on this season into the playoffs?
I love you so much. Hey, man, you're really good at this job, dog.
I got you,
buddy. You know your brother very well.
I got you, buddy.
The lob you just threw me was like magic in 1979 as a rookie, huh? So we're going to put LaMelo in this play-in and see if he can dazzle and get a triple-double and knock out my former team, the Indiana Pacers. Oh, man, that's what's up. I like what you did there. I'm going to be tuned in.
I'm going to be rooting for LaMelo Ball just because I love his game so much. However, this Pacers team is a tough out, and Sabonis has always had his way with the Hornets. And don't sleep on Caris LeVert. He was out for a while. He got traded from the Nets. People kind of forgot about Caris LeVert. This guy is a scorer, Between him and Sabonis, it's going to be really hard for the Hornets to slow down this Pacers team. And then the winner of this one plays the loser of the Celtics and Wizards matchup for the final eighth spot. Jalen, they need Malcolm Brogdon. Brogdon may or may not play for the Pacers. And people don't know that low-key, he is their leading scorer, and he's been in and out of the lineup.
That's
hopefully they
point.
Can get Brogdon together and Caris LeVert and Sabonis and move on in this one, and we will see. Jalen Rose, so excited about these playing games. We have to talk about them, but we have to talk about your Detroit Lions once again. I feel like we covered the Lions way too much on this program, but when Dan Campbell says something like he just said, we absolutely have to. He was on Pardon My Take. Shout out to those guys. They had Dan Campbell on. Here's what he said. He said, quote, "I don't think we're going to be able to do it, but I would love to literally just have a pet lion. Just a legit pet lion on a chain. A big bleep chain." Jalen Rose, we all know about him talking about biting kneecaps, and now he wants to have a literal lion as a pet, and he wants a big chain so he can walk this lion around Detroit.
I got to teach this guy something. Welcome back, Dan Campbell, as the head coach. He used to play for the team, Jacoby. He know what it is. You see me boss up and say what up, Doe, before every show, right?
Mm-hmm.
I once went to a themed jungle party in Atlanta. And real livestock were actually in the party. Elephants, lions, and tigers. True story. And that was a Detroit native throwing the party, I shall say. So him being in Detroit, it will not be the first time he's seen a lion, a tiger, or anything on somebody's chain. I just hope it have major diamonds in it. It gotta be iced out, and you gotta get some Cardis or rock you some Buffs, you know what I mean, to go with them.
Well, Jalen, the good thing for Lions fans is Dan Campbell did this interview to distract Lions fans from the fact that ESPN put out a power rankings of all of the NFL teams in the wake of the draft. And let's just take a look at where the Lions are in that. And that's their schedule. But they came out with power rankings. The Lions were 31st. 31st the league. 31st.
Right.
Only the Texans, who do not have a quarterback, we're ranked lower than the Lions. Jalen Rose, your team is so bad. Can we just not talk about them anymore? Can we just not talk about them? Can we just not talk about them until the game start?
Let me tell you guys something. Like, I know I play fantasy football every year, and I know I bet on NCAA tournament brackets, but I haven't really ever bet on professional sports. I'm going to bet that the Lions are better than that right there. That might be have to be my first bet. You said that over and under is 5.5 and 31st. We got to be better than that. It's only May. How they going to do that to us? We got the best center in the league. You saw what we just did in the draft? You see the fortified offensive line? Come on, man.
Oh, God. You're hilarious. Jalen, LeBron James is very cognizant about his legacy and the way that he is talked about. And he has a problem with the way that he is talked about. So what did he do? He went to social media and responded to those who he feels are not respecting him enough. We'll tell you exactly what he said right after this. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Mention my name.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Coming to you live from the Seaport District of New York City and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, LeBron James is very cognizant about the way that he is spoken about and his legacy. So while he was just scrolling on Twitter, he saw that he had the most 25-point game per game seasons in NBA history. He responded, "Since I was 19 years old and I'm a pass-first guy, always been. That's why I'm never mentioned with the greats of scoring, huh? That's perfect because I'd rather keep it that way." Jalen, why do you think LeBron James is calling attention to the fact that people don't consider him a great scorer?
First off, they're very limited. There's a very limited amount of human beings that will ever walk the face of the earth to average 20 points, definitely 25 points in an NBA season. So that becomes a different holy grail when it talks about scoring the basketball. But when you're getting 25 and you're getting 30, LeBron James has improved his offense. He has improved his three-point shot. He is a terrific scorer and will get you 30 to 35. Early in his career, I was there when he got his career high 50. But let me tell you, there's a difference between LeBron scoring and these guys right here that get buckets. Guys that give me 40-point games in NBA history, like Will, MJ, Kobe, James Harden, and Elgin Baylor. You know my vision ain't the best, but I had to squint to see how many times LeBron James did it. Is that 66?
Yep.
That's the difference. Those guys right there are buckets. Look at Kobe Bean Bryant, the kind of guy that'll average 44 a month. That happened. Score 81 in a game. MJ scored 63 in a playoff game as a young pup. The number of times they led the league in scoring. Okay, LeBron James led the league in scoring once. Those guys basically did it every season.
I just want to say one quick thing to LeBron James. LeBron, maybe you're not considered one of the greatest scorers of all time, but when the conversation about you comes up, people ask if you're the best basketball player of all time. Like, what more do you want? When people debate you, they debate whether it's you or MJ. Like, what other praise do you want? You get it all. You're one of the best two players to ever touch a basketball. Is that enough for you, LeBron James?
He just moving looking for motivation in the playoffs. That's all.
A new segment. Because I always want to see some. Show me some Shohei. Shohei Ohtani has been on an absolute tear this baseball season. He leads the league in home runs and has a 2.1 ERA. Jalen, no one has done that since 100 years ago when Babe Ruth did it. And look where he hits this ball around his shoulders, deep to right field. Jalen, celebrate Shohei.
Look at what side of the plate he hits from, Jacoby. Come on, dog. I used to try to hold the bat like Rod Carew, and then try to be a slap hitter like Tony Gwynn, and then try to wear my hat to the back like Junior, and then try to go deep like Barry Bonds. He's a pitcher out there striking out 10 and throwing fastballs and changeups, but still hitting 400-foot home runs. Like, he's a remarkable player. Like, we must find a way to cover him every day. I want to talk about him every time he's out there.
Okay. Jalen, we have some updates about a Ball brother, not named LaMelo. It is Lonzo Ball, who says, as his restricted free agent, he wants to stay with the Pelicans. He would love to. Do you think he does stay with the Pelicans this offseason?
So, this is a tough position for the Pelicans. Because in a lot of ways, you get a depressed asset from the Lakers. He didn't necessarily live up to the top three status and take the Jason Tatum leap, but he wasn't necessarily Markelle Fultz. He continued to work on his game. His three-point shot has improved. Now he's a legitimate defender at the guard position and a knockdown shooter. He got better. The problem is Zion is your best player. He's gonna need the basketball, just like Julius Randle in New York City. He's gonna need the ball. You notice they don't have a ball-dominant point guard in the starting lineup. That's why. And so for Alonzo, whose best attribute is his court vision and making people around him better, I think the growth of his game is actually gonna happen somewhere else. So if you're New Orleans, you give him an offer, but somebody else might swoop in like the Chicago Bulls and give him a better offer, and he might end up leaving if they come for like $20 million or something like that.
It is time for Soft Mover Boss Move. Jalen, Adam Sandler loves playing pickup hoops, and we have some new video of it. And not just that, he's not just playing pickup hoops. He's sending pics in the XXL polo pink jersey in Long Island. Jalen, Soft Mover Boss Move, playing hoops in the XXL polo.
Well, in 2021, oversized isn't the style, but the Fab Five made it cool to make sure your gear was baggy out there in mainstream. I just happy that he's out there balling. How do you feel about him rocking a polo is the question I need to ask you.
If you're playing pickup at 54, it does not matter what you are wearing. Big shout to Adam Sandler. I'll see you out there on the court. Jaden Hardy is a future superstar in the NBA, and he joins us next on Jalen Jacoby. You are not going to want to miss it. Jaden, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Jalen and Jacoby. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Big weekend this weekend. You announced that you are not going to go play basketball in college. You're going to join the G League Ignite. The decision process for you?
Really, I just prayed on it a lot. I talked to my dad, talked to my brother, and really just I seen the other guys, other elite high school players, how they did and the success. And with me not being able to take official visits to college, it made my decision on going pro much easier.
Shout out to Ramsey, shout out to Amari. Absolutely. Congratulations, nephew. You had the internet on fire, trending like crazy. You deserve to enjoy this opportunity. And for somebody like me, you mentioned it. I got a chance to take each of my college visits. So going to Michigan, I felt comfortable. You now going to the G League, how do you feel like you're going to be able to hone your skills in that league versus going to play in college?
I feel like my game translates to the pro game more than it does the college game. I've been working, been in the gym, working, playing against other pros. So I feel like my game is ready for the pro level.
In your opinion, why do you think more elite high school basketball players like yourself are choosing to go to the G League instead of going to college?
I feel like the NBA, what they have done with the G League program and the success of the other elite high school prospects, I feel like they're paving the way for the players who don't want to go to college. Not everybody's game is for college. or some people, they don't want to go to college, so.
I agree, and as a founder of a high school, we talk to young people about going to a college or a university or a community college or even a trade school. To me, going to the G League or going overseas is like your year to have your trade before you go into the league. So yeah. What are some of the things you feel like you want to work on and off the floor this year?
On the floor, just being a role model, being just showing, just paving the way for the other high school prospects. Just on the court, just showing that I belong, showing that I'm ready. And off the court, just setting the example for the other players. Just off the court, just, yeah.
Jacoby, did you hear that maturity? Did you see how he's dressed? The first thing that came out of his mind was leadership, responsibility, giving back to community. When I was that age, you know, I was trying to champagne and campaign. You see what I was saying?
Yeah. Now, Jaden, you will soon be a household name to all basketball fans around the world. But for those that don't follow you, what explain your game, what you're like on the court.
I'm a playmaker. I get my teammates involved and do whatever it takes to win. Win the games.
And Jacoby, the thing I like about his game is, as he mentioned, it translates. And once he gets to playing in the G League and the floor is a lot more open and getting to play in the NBA and the floor is a lot more open, you're going to see his playmaking and his scoring just go to the next level. Who are some of the players that you've been compared to in the NBA, past or present?
Well, I watch a lot of film on James Harden, Damian Lillard, Brad Beal. So those are some of the players I get compared to. So I try to take some out of those players' games and add it to mine.
You mentioned that you've been working out with some pros. You know, you've worked out with Trae Young and LaMelo Ball. What have you learned from them, and what is that competition like?
What I've learned is how they approach their workouts, the intensity of their workouts, and just seeing how they work. Just learning from them, just playing against them, just getting used to the physicality.
What are you listening to in the headphones these days? Like, what you bumping? In the gym, going to the games, in your ear. What? Like, I've been rocking that new J. Cole since it came out. It is crazy. He got bars. Yeah. Like, what you been listening to?
I be listening to Lil Baby, Gunna, Thug, J. Cole, Drake, YoungBoy, all of them.
So you said that your game translates better to the pro game than the college. What do you mean by that?
I feel like in a pro game, there's more space. I feel like in the pro system, I feel like I'll flourish more. So
I remember asking this to Kevin Garnett. When he decided to go straight from high school to the league, where would you have gone if you were to pick a college? So now I ask you, since you're officially going to the G League, and congratulations, if you were going to pick a school, which school do you think would probably have been your favorite?
If I was to pick a school, I actually don't know where I would have went. Mm-hmm. Just because I never got to see the campuses, I never got to get a feel on how it was. I mean, it would have been hard for me just to pick a school, just not even being able to go there. Mm-hmm. So I actually don't know where I would have went. Mm-hmm.
Jaden, Jalen Rose has been talking about you for it seems like years now, okay? This guy is your supporter. Why do you think people like Jalen and other NBA analysts and people that really know the game are so excited about your potential?
I feel like just growing up, I mean, with the Fab Five, with everything that happened with that, I mean, that was great. I mean, just the history behind that, and then his history in the NBA, I mean, it's crazy. So, he's a great.
Appreciate the love, nephew, in Detroit, stand up.
You already
while
know.
He represents Henderson, Nevada to go play ball. So, how about the squad? Like, Jermaine Jackson, that's family. LaMelo Ball, that's family. What are you able to take from those relationships as you continue to grow on the as a player on and off the floor?
I mean, it's all love with them. I mean, I knew Jermaine since I was little. His son played with my brother. So, I mean, we basically like came up together. And then LaMelo, that's my boy. He's doing great things out there in the league. He's killing it. So, I mean, that's family right there.
What's one thing about your game that you're really trying to work on to improve before you get into the pros?
Really just staying in the gym, just working on my body, and then just can't wait to learn the pro system, the pro terminology, and just playing against pros. That's really what I'm looking forward to, and that's what I can't wait, and I'm excited.
So have they put you on a regimen yet? So like when I declared for college, it was like, basically, they told me when I need to go to campus, or here's gonna be your trainer, or this is your routine. Once you officially announce, what now have you learned that you're gonna be?
I haven't, as of right now, I've just been just the same routine I've been doing, just standing in the gym, working out. I really like, they haven't told me what's happening yet, so I'm like, I still don't know what's really going on yet. But I'm just enjoying the moment, excited, and I just can't wait.
That's dope. That's dope. Well,
congratulations on your decision to go to the G League. We look forward to watching you there and eventually in the pros in a couple years. Jaden, thank you so much for joining us. And Jalen Jacoby, you're welcome to come back
Thanks
anytime.
A lot.
Don't forget us when you blow up. Don't forget us when you blow up.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
No doubt.
We'll be back with much more. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen Jacoby. We always say we give the people what they want. Jalen Rose, you came to me months ago, said, there's a kid from Detroit, Jaden Hardy. Why? Why are you so high on this young man and his potential to be an NBA superstar?
So watching him ball, Jacoby, and it's been happening like this since the beginning of the time, where an inner city player gets a chance to get recruited by a suburban school, whether it's via scholarship or the opportunity to go to a prep school in a different state. Like, that's really a competitive space for anybody that's been around, you know, high school basketball. Mm-hmm. Players transfer a lot, coaches move around a lot, shoe companies dictate more than people actually understand. And there are a lot of times you're watching a player play in high school in a city or a state that player was not born in, didn't go to elementary school or middle school there. But he is there now to play one of his, if not all four of his high school years before they make a decision to go overseas, go to the G League. Back in the day, it was go to the NBA and or college. Now the final option is college until the next couple of years. So for me, he was one of those players I got a chance to find out about young because he has an older brother named Amari. I think he went to Oregon. And Detroiters, we really stick together. And his father, Ramsey, is an OG in the city and around the game. And I remember riding up the Lodge Freeway, and I thought it was so dope that Oregon / Ramsey basically put up a billboard congratulating his son for signing his letter of intent to Oregon. So I've known Ramsey since I was a shorty, right? Since you already know I'm as grassroots in basketball as it comes. You know, I've been playing the game my whole life, like literally. I wasn't somebody just picked up the game when he was in college. Like, you know, it's my whole thing from playing on the telephone pole to going to St. Cecilia, making full courts outside or whatever. So Ramsey been knowing me since I was that young. That's how far we go back. Interject another name, Jermaine Jackson. Some of you, if you know me, know that he played at U of D, started at U of D. Shout to Rashard Phillips. They played together. The Yoda. You might see him breaking down college athletes in their game and Trae Young and introducing us to all players. Like, he's crushing it right now on social media and with his website and stuff. So Jermaine and Rashard are like my little brothers. They both play for Perry Watson. my high school coach, my father figure, right? So this is like Detroit grassroots love is what I'm sprinkling on everybody. I'm putting seeds on all of the soil. And so I've known about his son forever. You know what I'm saying? You know how this works. Somebody that's in the gym, that's an OG, they got kids, they're in the gym too. So they're doing drills, they're shooting, they're rebounding, they're going to get water, they're paying their dues as shorties. You already know how that works. And so to watch him continue to blossom and then go to school in Nevada for high school, that's when the rest of the world started paying attention. And if I had to compare his game younger, like, he's still in high school, by the way. Like, what are you gonna be a, he gonna be a senior. No, he just completing his senior year, right? So if I had to compare his game now, I would say a lot like Bradley Beal. Like, he can really score, he can really shoot, he longer than he looked. Like, if you look at Bradley Beal, it's my job to pay attention to, like, everything about a player, right? Everything about them.
Yep.
I only say, like, 20% of everything I know. That's why players got love for me. And by the way, we need to talk about the Kwame Brown stuff, too. But we'll come back to that. And so Bradley Beal's torso looks small compared to how long his arms and legs are. So when I watch him play, that's what I see. I see more arms and legs. Mm-hmm. And that's how he was when he was younger. And then he started to grow into his body. And so it's like, since he's stronger now, I would say he's kind of like a Jamal Murray.
Okay.
Type of player, because Jamal Murray would dunk on you. Like, so you see his, like, how smooth he is and how effortless, like, he'll fall back and, like, rain a three off of one leg. But Google Jamal Murray dunks. You'll be surprised, like, he catch people.
Yeah.
He be catching them. And so he kind of remind me of both of them. And finally, he also reminds me of CJ McCollum. On and off the floor. Because CJ gets buckets, but man, he mature. And when y'all hear this podcast, just think about what the first things came out of his mouth. I think Jacoby asked him, you know, what do you hope to get accomplished this year? The first thing he said was be a role model. Be a leader. Hold on, let me rewind the tape. Dog, he's 17. You know what I'm saying? He's 17. You know what I'm saying? And when y'all also see the interview, we showed up, hoodies. You know what I'm saying? He got on like a fashionable blazer. That wasn't just like somebody, that was a fashionable blazer.
No, he had the pants too.
Exactly. Like, he was dressed for his job interview. That's what we said about CJ. You, I, and Bill Simmons walked out of the room when we were doing those Grantland segments, and we were like, this dude will average 25 points in the NBA and be president afterwards.
Yep, that was CJ McCollum. So we right? had an interview with CJ McCollum before he was drafted. We also have this interview with Jaden Hardy before he committed, just right after he committed to the G League. Let's listen to it. I want to thank Jaden Hardy for coming through. Remember, you come to Jalen and Jacoby, you get what's next. Jaden Hardy, not exactly a household name right now, but just wait a year from today. Just wait a year from today. When you're going to see all the tanking teams, they're going to be tanking for Jaden Hardy. That's what they're going to be doing as they prepare for the draft next year. Now, Jalen, right now we have to prepare for the play-in games, and tonight we have two of them, Wizards-Celtics, Hornets-Pacers. I just want to hear just real quick who you have winning each one.
I like to judge success, as you know, by realistic expectations. So I'm rooting for the teams that I think would be more enthusiastic about the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I know for a fact Russell Westbrook would love nothing more to play against Kevin Durant in the playoffs.
Oh, wow. That'd be so much fun. Brooklyn Wizards.
Right. How about
that?
I got to root for that.
I don't want to see Celtics Nets. I don't want to see that. I want to see, you know, Westbrook and Beal going toe-to-toe with Harden.
Yes. Yes.
KD, we Kyrie. Need that.
We need that. We need KD to be the equalizer. We need it to be like, all right, Harden, Kyrie, y'all do what y'all doing. All right, Beal and Russ, y'all do what y'all doing. But here comes 6'10", and I'm the difference maker. Mm-hmm. Catch this 40. You know what I mean? Like, we need to see that. And so that's the series, and that's what I'm rooting for. And shout to one of my good friends in the NBA, Tommy Shepard. We came into the league together. My first year in Denver, he was working in the field room, doing quality control, paying his dues, that type of thing. Now he the president of the Wizards. And by the way, when I reach out to him and be like, yo, and this is before they were even good, because he'd been there a couple of years. Send gear for the school, send shoes for the students, trying to do what he can to get back. And so shout to my guy, Tommy Shepard, who made the move of swapping Russell Westbrook and John Wall. And see, you get two things in that. You get the guy that's going to average a triple-double. You get somebody that's making Bradley Beal better and happy. And he sells tickets.
Yeah, he does.
Russell Westbrook sells tickets. You know what I'm saying? People are coming to the game wearing his jersey. He's the new era Big O. And so I want to see Washington definitely get into the playoffs.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know who they covered Durant with, like Bertans and like Rui Hachimura. Like, I don't know what they got for Durant. I don't know.
45.
I don't know what they have for Kevin Durant.
Shoot, trade from the suburbs. You know how the run is. This is the classic example why I don't like super teams. And let me give you a distinction of what a super team is for Jalen. A super team to me is when you got three of the top 10 players on your team at the same time. Top 10 or 12. That's a super team to me in their prime. And so Kevin Durant is like, we have a good run going at the park and y'all beat us twice and then we beat y'all twice and then this dude had to go hoop somewhere else and now he come to this court and he got next. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you want to lose to play with him and then run all day? Or, you know what I'm saying? Do you win and then have him bounce you, and then when you get bounced, you got to sit for 4 or 5 games. And so that's what KD going to be in this series. Y'all 6'5 and unders, go ahead and have y'all league. I'm 6'10 right here. Take this 40-45 on 50-40-90.
Jalen, you know that I'm not loyal. So you know what I'm doing in that pickup scenario? You know what I'm doing in that pickup scenario? While I'm losing the game, I'm in between a possession. I'm going to him, being like, yo, pick me up next. Pick me up next.
Hit the
Save
break.
A spot for me.
Right
Save
now.
A spot for
Ridge.
Me. In the middle, in the middle of losing the Ridge game. Ridge. If we're down by 4 points in the middle of losing a game, I will definitely start plotting my next step. You gotta prepare for the future. You gotta prepare for the future. Listen, there's no time like the present, but you always gotta prepare for the future. So I'm definitely gonna ask the person waiting on the side while I'm in the middle of a game if they got a spot for me if I lose.
Is something to be said, boys and girls out there, for looking in the mirror and being comfortable with who you are, seeing yourself and not your representative. So if you ever get confused, David Jacoby falls into that category. And I love him so very much for it. Like, that's why he's my brother. And let me tell you a couple of those characters that I talk about. Die Easy, he's consistent. Yeah. He created a word for the lexicon in sports, and he owns it. However, as the capo of the Miniband Mafia, this is a cross-section of two different things, though. You're the foremost expert of street ball and pickup, and your Die Easy, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I need everybody, please clip this project, Pat. I need everybody to know. Is it a boss move or a soft move? Asking the person who got next if you can run with them while losing with your current team.
It's a soft move, and I'm comfortable with that. It's a soft move, and I'm fine with that. But, yo, this is – let me just give you a little context. You know when, like, you're wide open, and then the dude doesn't pass you the ball, and he bricks it, and then the next time it's just another turnover. You haven't seen the ball in four possessions. You're fed up with your team. You're losing by four. That's when I jump ship. If it's point, then I'm focused on the game at hand. But I'm saying when things are going bad, I'm out. When things are going bad and it's not my fault, I'm gone. You know what I can't do? I can't miss three shots in a row and then ask the dude to pick me up who has next. You can't do that. But I'm saying, because you know I'm always a big, and I'm on the post. Some guard goes between his legs, behind the back, between his legs, step back, air ball, and then I run down on defense. Next time I come down, I set a pick. He doesn't even use it. And then I run away and set a pick for someone else. Doesn't matter, because he's going between the legs and shooting a layup and getting it blocked. That's when I'm out. That's when I'm off you. If I'm the reason we're losing, fine. I'm sticking with the team going down the ship. But if I'm not touching the ball and I'm not happy, I'm moving off your team and I'll find out who got next in the middle of the game.
So I heard a lot of eyes. If I'm not touching the ball, if I'm not happy, if the team's not winning because of me. I heard that correct, right?
No, if the team's not winning because of me, I can't try to bounce on it. If I turn the ball over and I'm missing shots, that's on me. Then I can't recruit myself to get on my next team.
Well, you can't, because the person ain't gonna pick you up. What do you
mean? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, you understand me.
If I'm messing up, if I'm missing shots and turn the ball over, I'm not gonna try to get on the next game. I'm not gonna do that. That ain't right.
This is hilarious.
But if I'm getting frozen out and I'm not getting the ball and I'm setting picks, I hate setting picks if people don't use them. Like, dog, I'm setting a pick. Like, you can just dribble around and then just you pull it back out.
I need to pull back. I'm Barry Sanders. Watch out.
Yeah. Or just like when I set even an off-ball screen, because I'm one of the few people that sets a screen
and
pick up.
And it don't even matter.
Yeah, and then I don't even run off. It's like, dog, what am I doing here? Like, now I got my back to the ball, back to the basket, just staying in here. Come on, man.
Oh, man, that's hilarious.
You know I'm not loyal. I know you, Jalen. You're that type, too. I know. If you're unhappy, you're not going to go down with the shit.
That is hilarious.
Please.
That is hilarious.
We got time for one voicemail. We always like to hear from you, 985-80-JALEN. If you call 985-80-JALEN, we can put your voice on the show. And you can ask about anything. You don't even have to ask anything. You can just give
anything.
A shout-out.
No doubt.
And we'll put you on the show just like this.
Kobe, what's going on, man? It's your boy. Live here in Virginia, originally from Georgia. Big fan of the show. Wifey put me on the show when we first met 7 years ago. And this week, celebrating our fourth year anniversary. So shout out to Wifey. Got a quick question, man. I'll be short here. Cultural or regional? Using the porta potty at the park. You know, I'm one, I take my daughter to the park usually every weekend, you know, let wifey get some exercise through her walking thing. But, you know, I keep noticing a lot of people pulling off the side of the road, maybe coming in or, you know, people exercising, using the porta potty, which is crazy. But today just cut the cake. I saw a lady take her at least 50-pound dog into the porta potty with her before she got her jog in. But yeah, cultural regional. Cultural regional. Using the porta potty at the park. Help me out with this. Appreciate you guys. Keep getting those checks. Later.
Every weekend, I take my kids on an adventure as well, so I feel you. And there is a porta potty at the park that I go to. I will use it. I think it's kind of gender specific because my daughters are so young, they don't hover. Like women who are listening to this right now know what I'm talking about. Women can go in the porta potty, not touch anything except the floor with the soles of their feet. They can do that. And men can't too. But little girls can't do that. So like my little daughter will just poke her head in there, smell it, and just be like, nah, I'm not going in. She's not
going to
do
it.
Yeah. But I would say that porta potties in general, I think it's more gender specific. I'd say it's more gender specific. I think dudes are more apt to go inside and rock a porta potty than females.
As a father, I'll say this. I like how you made it gender specific, because first off, I'm going to say I still think, however, that it's cultural. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he said transported himself, right? I believe that you said that it was at the park when you went there, correct?
No, I don't know. He didn't bring a porta potty with him. That's not how porta potties work. They're there already. They're
okay,
stationary.
Got it. So I'm okay. So basically, that's more location, right? Because some mm-hmm. parks have porta potties, and some parks don't. I grew up going to parks that didn't necessarily have porta potties. Yeah, they did at Belle Isle, or they had like good bathrooms also. And for me, guys, you gotta go find a bush, make it happen.
Yeah, I mean, I do that a lot with my kids. My kids pee outside, male, female. They're, right. They're peeing outside all the time, anywhere. Right. Like anywhere. Like middle of the street in New York City, and just like, you know what? I don't want to hear about this. It's a pandemic. Restaurants ain't letting me pee in their bathroom. Like, let's just get this done. Let's just get this done.
Yeah, we got the performance has to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And when you're moving around with the kids and you're moving around, sometimes everybody isn't on the same bathroom schedule.
Thank you. Dog, it's like, and we have to go to the potty. One of them will be like, I have to go to the potty. All right, but I got to take all y'all to the potty. And then right when we get back to the table, it's like the next one's like, I got to go to the potty. Like, we were just there, dog, 10 seconds ago. Like, you were in the bathroom, and we just sat down. Like, why do we have to go back now? So now I got to take all of y'all, because I don't want to leave two of y'all at the table. Get kidnapped. So I spend most of the time just going back and forth to the bathroom whenever I go to a restaurant.
And so I agree with you. Women seem to be more particular about where they're going to go, in particular in the porta potty, because those things stink. And you know how much I hate feces being in the toilet when I walk into a bathroom. Like, I'm a product of a public school. Like, I don't like that at all.
Well, so my son, whenever he goes to the porta potty, like, he goes and instead of using the urinal to the left, he'll go and pee into like the toilet area. And he's exploring that thing like it's a Picasso painting, what's going on in there. He's giving me details because they're right next to each other. You can hear each other through it. So he's telling me everything that he sees in there. And I'm just like, bro, that's not for exploration. Like, you're supposed to pretend that doesn't exist. Might as well just close your eyes. But he's telling me everything that he sees in there. Litter, trash, everything that he sees in there. Well, appreciate the call. Congratulations on your 4-year anniversary. I like that your wife put you onto the pod.
Exactly.
Shout out to all the ladies putting their dudes onto the pod.
She's
Big
the
shout
boss.
To her. She's the OG.
We love Power Couple. Big shout to her. Please hit up Reg DeLedge or hit up Jalen and Jacoby. We want to send you guys some hoodies for your
Chandler wants a hoodie. Chandler, I got Chandler on Twitter DM. He wants a hoodie. He needs a hoodie bad.
Done and done. We got you, Chandler.
He needs a hoodie bad. He needs a hoodie bad. I appreciate that.
I got
call.
You, Reg DeLedge. And we need hoodies for Reg Fantasy Basketball League. We give the people what they want.
You can always call 985-80-JALEN and leave us a voicemail. We always appreciate your calls. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose? Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We get a people! No. We're not done.
You forgot.
No. Demetrius was harassing me. It made me lose my train of thought.
Okay.
Demetrius hit me in the jaw. He reminded me of me losing in the finals the last 2 years in fantasy. So I was on a stagger A count. My bad.
Okay. You back? You good?
We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people.